Seekers, welcome to Friday, as the man says. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 minutes past the hour. This is the Malloy program. All you right-wingers, run and hide, but take your little portable radios with you. I know what you like to do when you listen to this program, you little devils. Tonight we will have podcast trivia, as we are wont to do on every Friday night. That'll probably be in about an hour and a half. Get the right answer and you win a one-year subscription. Commercial-free Malloy Show podcast downloads. Isn't that great? You know what Sunday is, right? Another Earth Day. Oh, God, not again. Not that hippy-dippy crapola from, when was it? 1970? Ugh. That's how the right-wingers look at it. Statement from Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius. The first Earth Day, conceived by Senator Gaylord Nelson and observed across the country on April 22, 1970, highlighted a growing public concern for ecological issues. 42 years later, 42 years later, whew, seems like yesterday. The call to protect our planet still resonates. At the Department of Health and Human Services, we are committed to protecting the health and well-being of all Americans. And it is clear that the health of the American people is connected to the health of our environment. A 2011 study published in Health Affairs found that poor childhood health triggered by environmental causes, such as exposure to toxic chemicals and pollutants, cost the United States, in terms of dollars, $76.6 billion, or 3.5% of national health care costs in 2008. We at HHS promote comprehensive public health and environmental policies, recognizing not only the economic impact of an unhealthy environment, but also its toll on human lives. The Affordable Care Act is helping to ensure that all Americans have access to high-quality, affordable health care, no matter what their ethnic, racial, or socioeconomic background. I've had the opportunity to meet with people across the country and hear their stories. When I visited Cleveland, Ohio, I met a woman whose daughter has suffered since childhood from asthma. She was having trouble finding insurance due to her pre-existing condition. While we still have more work to do in fostering and sustaining healthy environments, okay, that's enough. At the very end, she says, I hope you'll join me in observing Earth Day 2012. You know, when I read something like this, which is written strictly in bureaucratese, nothing against Kathleen Sebelius. She only can say what she can say. She's a bureaucrat. She's the chairman or the head of HHS. I would imagine sometime in any given day, Kathleen Sebelius would like to stand up on the nearest desk and start screaming about what is happening to the planet and to the health of all of us, not just kids, but to the health of all of us. But she can't, you see. Isn't that a shame? Would it be nice to to have bureaucrats who would ignore the right-wing crazies in our society? You know, all these silly bastards who keep insisting there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with the environment. What are you talking about? Man, I recycle my Pepsi cans. I don't think we will ever have a Health and Human Services Secretary who will do that, or the head of the EPA, or the head of any department, who will actually state categorically and without reservation the fact that, for some reason, humans have decided to destroy the only home we have. And now that we have trashed the space exploration program, do you know what is, what, 3 or 4 years older than Earth Day? Humans walking on the moon. 3 years older. 1 year older. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So, here we are, earthbound. I was really excited back in 1969. I thought, oh my God! They did it! What's next? Woohoo! Colonies on the moon! And then Mars! Damn! Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. No, we had serious business here at home. The slaughter of 3, 4, 5 million Indochinese. The great and wonderful Cold War with the Soviet Union. The feeding of the industrial military complex. You know, so space exploration, forget it. All gone. But I would just love to see somebody, a bureaucrat, or even an elected official, just cut loose. Kind of like the character in, what was it, Broadcast News? No, which was it, the one that said, Network, that's right. The guy who said, I'm not going to take any more. I've had enough screaming. But we don't have leadership. The Democrats are capable of leadership, but for some reason they're afraid to raise their heads above the crowd. The Republicans are no more capable of leadership than they're capable of, I don't know anything, than they're capable of being good stewards of the earth, being good parents, being good anything. Republicans are vile, and they're not really Republicans any longer. They're right wingers. So who's to lead? Who's to stand up on the desk in an office someplace and notify the world with a huge megaphone, notify Americans especially with a huge megaphone, that this has got to stop, that we have got to wake up, we've got to start thinking positively. Nah, you know what we're talking about? You know what the powers that be are talking about? Can you wait, man, till all that Arctic ice melts? Oh, my God. We'll be able to ship things across the North Pole. There are all kinds of oil and gas buried up there. Son of a bitch, man. This is going to be great. You know, the shipping industry is already, God knows how many mega tankers are already under construction in anticipation of the melting, the total dissolving of the polar ice cap. At least the part that really matters. You know, that's the part over polar bears, seals. What? you go to the zoo if you want to see them. That's what zoos are for. I just don't get it. Do you? Do you, truth seeker? Do you get it? I remember 42 years ago, when Earth Day first came together, there was cynicism, there was skepticism, there was sarcasm from the right wing at the time. But back then, the right was not quite the howling band of rabid dogs that they've become. They were not quite fascists. Reagan hadn't been elected yet. Reagan, what, 1970, he was selling borax. What the hell was he doing in 1970? Was he still governor? Or was he pushing 20 mule team borax? I don't know. Again, it really doesn't matter. But after 42 years, why even acknowledge this? You know, the elementary schools still do. They have little contests. Make a poster for Earth Day. Molly's always coming home and telling me about Earth Day, about saving the environment, about all the things we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I agree with her. I say, yeah, honey, you're absolutely right. Well, when's it going to start, Daddy?
Right here, right now, at Malloy.
21 past the hour. Time to hear from our economic affairs correspondent, Prairie 2. Stand your ground, Jean Valjean. It's April 20th. And if you can't remember reading Les Miserables in high school because you were smoking in the boys' room, there is one aspect of the story relevant to this rant. It's that Jean Valjean got 5 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. He then got another 16 years for several attempted escapes. In the past, this was considered shocking. But in the corporate-owned prison system of America, this would be a light sentence. The corporate prison system routinely engineers ever longer sentences for prisoners in their custody for simple infractions of the rules. Serious crimes like stealing bread on three occasions can get you life without parole in a private prison. Some of the harshest laws that have been passed by states came as a result of lobbying by, or more accurately, wholesale bribery of Republican lawmakers by the American Legislative Exchange Council. ALEC. Or more accurately named, abominable legislation by unelected corporations. Still, you have to wonder why these mega corporations would push this stand your ground law. They don't really need to pander to the gun nuts. The crazy people really don't need convincing to vote Republican. The idea that it was simply to boost gun sales doesn't make much sense either. There's already a shortage of guns and ammo. You see, with a black president, they can't make them fast enough. Walmart is the biggest gun seller in the country and a big player in ALEC. But their business model is to suck dry local economies by absolute domination. They're doing just fine already. So the increase in gun sales isn't even a rounding error to them. So why would a corporate lobby make it legal for a person to gun down anyone who makes them feel threatened? To quote the possible, however unlikely, next president of the United States, corporations are people, my friend. That's right, Monsieur Valjean. Make the corporation feel threatened, they can then shoot you. And not worry about asking questions later. After all, stealing bread is a threatening act. So is union picketing, occupying the corporate-owned Zuccotti Park, or entering a private gated community with permission or without. Even if you paid for the bread or the Skittles. Trayvon Martin's case was nearly ignored completely like dozens before him. ALEC wasn't expecting to get this much attention. Not that this case is likely to get any of these laws overturned. The people who write the checks don't want them changed. You may see them amended to restrict this type of self-defense for common killers, but don't expect any of the changes to apply to the corporations. They are a special kind of people, my friend. Prairie2.com. And speaking of Zimmerman, as you know, he was ordered to be released probably soon on $150,000 bond. take a while to get the money together. There were some restrictions on his release. Ankle bracelet monitor, and can't be around firearms or alcohol. Now, I would think that the NRA would immediately petition the judge who ordered that and say, this is crazy! He hasn't been convicted of anything! In this case, what are you waiting for, you goddamn freaks? Go ahead. Where's the Motor City moron? Huh? Come on, this is, look what they're doing to him. Come on, Ted, jump up. Stick your ugly ass head up in the air and say, wait a minute, why shouldn't he have a gun? But I digress. Zimmerman, somehow word got out that Zimmerman has spent the past few weeks praying and reading the Bible. Well, of course, he's a Christian. Shooting someone in cold blood is just icing on the cake. Of course he's reading the Bible. Let me see now. I got to find those passages that justify what I did. They're in here somewhere. Ugh. Praying and reading the Bible. And if you watched the arraignment today on television, as I did, I don't know how close to triggering your gag reflex his apology to the parents of Trayvon Martin came. Mine? Kathy immediately ran into the room and said, are you okay? Why are you retching? And then she saw the replay of what Zimmerman said, and she started. You want to apologize to the parents. How white of you. So pretty soon, Zimmerman, as it should be, $150,000 bond for a charge of second-degree murder. Yeah, unless you're a black man. If you're a black man charged with second-degree murder, you might get bond, but it'll be in the seven figures. $150,000, chump change. I'm sure the appeal went out via the web tonight. To the NRA members and the right-wing Republicans. Everybody write a check for $25. We got to get Zimmerman out of jail. Because you know what? The Negroes in there will probably kill him.
Monkeys on the air, flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. From GK in Minnesota. Well, Mike, it would appear that the killer in Florida will not have to even go to trial. The state did not even try, in my opinion, in the hearing today. In one way, Zimmerman incriminated himself was when he said the police report the night of the incident, or when he told the police the night of the incident, he had no idea how old Trayvon was, yet in court today he thought that Trayvon was a couple of years younger than he. The prosecutor, in my opinion, is just as much in bed with the police and everyone else involved in the case. I think the idea of a second-degree murder charge was made in hopes of a lesser charge to be found to appease the people upset with the way Zimmerman was not charged right away. Maybe the fact that Zimmerman's father was a magistrate or something like that could have had something to do with it as well. The whole thing stinks to high heaven, and it makes me sick. Also, when Zimmerman's wife and parents say that he is not a racist, give me a break. What about the remark he uttered while hunting Trayvon down? And I guess the request by the dispatch cop to the killer not to go after him has no bearing here either. And what about the gun Zimmerman had? He was not supposed to be carrying a gun while he was on neighborhood watch. Mike, this is not the year 2012. It's 1830s all over again. Not a racist? My ass. GK, Minnesota. All right, GK. Remember I told you about West Virginia Republican Senate candidate. He's running against Joe Manchin this November. He's the guy who said that a no-smoking ordinance in a county there is similar to Hitler putting stars of David on the Jews. He actually said that. Well, he's not backing down. He says, I'm not going to be intimidated by a bunch of bull, and then the rest of it. He told that to the Charleston Daily Mail yesterday, blaming the controversy on gotcha tactics by his opponent, Senator Joe Manchin. Yeah, it's Joe's fault, right? Okay. According to the Charleston Daily Mail, Reese said, quote, I'm not apologizing to anybody or any organization. It's my perfect right to make a speech about meaningful subject matters in this country. Meaningful subject matters. So putting the Star of David on Jews, marking them for certain death, is the same as banning cigarette smoking in Monongalia County. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, Jewish human rights organization, condemned John Reich yesterday for his equating of a smoking ban to Hitler's policy of forcing Jews to wear the Star of David. Rabbi Abraham Cooper, Associate Dean of the Center, and Mark Wiseman, Director of Government Affairs, issued a statement. Quote, this inappropriate comparison betrays an ignorance of what really happened in Nazi Germany and demonstrates a callousness to the millions of Jews murdered by Hitler's Third Reich. It compares signs that are meant to protect people's health, the no-smoking signs, with the yellow stars designed to dehumanize and degrade millions of Jews by a racist genocidal regime. The Simon Wiesenthal Center has spoken out against the manipulation and distortion of the Holocaust for political purposes in the past by the left and the right, and we hope that Mr. Reese's colleagues and fellow citizens of West Virginia will register their disgust at this inappropriate analogy. End quote. The National Jewish Democratic Council called on Reese to apologize immediately and stop defending his remarks. West Virginia's Democratic Party Chair Larry Puccio also denounced remarks. Wow. It's astonishing to me. His full statement, he was at a Lincoln Day dinner in Hurricane, West Virginia. He said, but here in Monongalia County now, I have to put a huge sticker on my buildings to say this is a smoke-free environment. This is brought to you by the government of Monongalia County, okay? Remember, Hitler used to put Star of David on everybody's lapel. Remember that? Same thing. Well, it wasn't everybody's lapel, you half-witted, jack-legged freak. What an ass. What a total asswipe. Where do these people come from? Where does this guy come? I put a sign on my buildings now. No freedom left in this country. Just like putting a Star of David on them are Jews. And you know that's the way he pronounces it. You know he does. John in Minnesota writes some more. I listen to Repubs and the crazy right-winger Bible Belt types. I have finally come to this conclusion. What kind of God would allow for hatred, famine, war, destruction, phoniness, lying, cheating, racism, anti-gay, anti-minority, anti-woman, and against free speech if they don't like it, or being called out anti-non-Christian, starvation, poor, uneducated, poverty, booming healthcare clinics, and on and on and on? What kind of God would allow a world of all this? Yes, lots of good in the world, but I cannot fathom this in their beliefs. So my answer, if there is a higher being, also known as God, to the right-wingers, as they seem to understand, he can only be like Republicans. They seem to own the Christian God. So, yes, my conclusion, God must be a Republican. At least the current crop of Tea Partiers, KKK rednecks that barely know how to spell their names would agree. So, but that would make me an elitist liberal. John, Minnesota. Frustrated there a little bit, John? And by the way, remember the radical nuns that the Vatican accuses of flouting the male leadership? You know, how dare you women? We let you become brides of Christ and wear those funky-looking penguin outfits, and now you're going to rebel? Well, the leader of the group, Sister Simone Campbell, told the BBC that they are rejecting the claims by the Vatican. Oh, my God. So to speak. Sister Simone Campbell said, quote, I have no idea what they're talking about. Our role is to live the gospel with those who live on the margins of society. That's all we do. End quote. I remember Wednesday, the day before, the Vatican announced a crackdown on U.S. nuns, long considered too liberal by the church hierarchy. And the Office of the Inquisition issued a highly critical report that accused U.S. nuns of engaging in, quote, corporate dissent, end quote. I'm sure the corporate there refers to the body of Christ or something. And ignoring, or worse, challenging the church's teachings on abortion, homosexuality, and an all-male priesthood. Oh, girls, you've gone too far now. The Archbishop of Seattle, Peter Sartain, is to lead a reform of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious. That's the organization that now finds itself being investigated again by the Office of the Inquisition. That organization, Leadership Conference of Women Religious, represents 80% of America's 57,000 nuns. 80%. That's one hell of a union, huh? 80%! The review led by the Archbishop of Seattle will include the ties between it and its close partner, Network, which is a social justice organization involved in health care and poverty programs. Oh, no, we'll have none of that. Oh, no. Poverty programs? Sister Campbell, Simone Campbell, head of Network, suggested that her organization's vocal support for Obama's health care bill was behind the slapdown. She said, quote, there's a strong connection. We didn't split on faith, we split on politics. American bishops saw the Obama administration's Affordable Care Act as backing state-funded abortion, and the nuns disagreed. Oh, no you don't. Archbishop Sartain of Seattle said, quote, I hope to be of service to them, the nuns, so that, you know, he can whip them back into shape. I hope to be of service to them and to the Holy See as we face areas of concern to all. I would disagree. I don't think it's areas of concern to all. I think it's areas of concern to your Nazi Pope. You think? Could it be? Sister Campbell suggested a difficult time ahead. She said, quote, it's totally a top-down process. And I don't think the bishops have any idea of what they're in for. End quote. You go, sister. You go. Kick them right in the crotch. You know, figuratively speaking. For change, I would not dump my complaints with all there is to share. So hey, God, you can sit back. You can lay all your weary. Don't you think that?
you ready for Radical Talk Radio? It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour.
Psst. Hey, do you want to hear something really, really weird? Mitt Romney is going to hell. He is.
MSNBC host Martin Bashir yesterday read from the Book of Mormon to make the point that Romney might win the White House by lying, but he will be condemned to, quote, eternal damnation, end quote. Bashir said, quote, Mr. Romney seems to be having some trouble telling the truth. In fact, yesterday, Mitt the Mendacious offered a hat trick of falsehoods, end quote. Bashir pointed to claims that Romney's campaign had not sought the endorsement of Ted Nugent and that there was a vast left-wing conspiracy by the media to defeat him and that Barack Obama promised to keep unemployment below 8%. Bashir pointed out, quote, it is something that the president had never written or said, but Romney prefers to tell lies, which brings us to the moral codes of Mormonism that Mr. Romney claims to live by. According to Section 63 and verse 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, quote, the fearful and the unbelieving and all liars and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie and the whoremonger and the sorcerer shall have their part in that lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, end quote. And in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 9, verse 34, says, quote, woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell, end quote. And then Martin Bashir concluded, quote, given that the Book of Mormon is what the Book of Mormon is clearly saying, Mr. Romney has but two choices. He can either keep lying and potentially win the White House, but bring eternal damnation upon himself, or he can start telling the truth. The question for Romney, which is the more important? And then in reaction to that, another CNN wingnut loses it. This creature called Dana Loesch is apparently furious at Martin Bashir. Now, yesterday, when Bashir called former governor and Republican candidate Mitt Romney a liar and pointed out that by his own faith's tenets, he's going to hell for what he said, Loesch lost her marbles. She was a Andrew Breitbart acolyte. So whether she had marbles to begin with is probably not an issue here. Most of Breitbart's little clan of freaks were marble-less. Anyway, one thing that we do know she did, she supported corpse desecration, but I'll get to that in a second. Loesch couldn't handle the truth. Like none of these people can. And in a sputtering freak-out rant on Thursday's edition of The Dana Show, she called Bashir, quote, an unintelligent hack and a foreigner. Ooh. Who isn't qualified to cover U.S. politics? She said, I don't want to hear a foreigner talking about media in this country or politics. You don't understand it. Go back to your own country. Report on British politics and celebrities. Be famous off of that. On her radio show, Dana Loesch cheered on an internet video reportedly showing U.S. Marines urinating on dead Afghans, saying that she would, quote, drop trow and do it too, end quote. Corpse desecrator and CNN contributor Dana Loesch going off her ass about a very true statement, quoting from the Book of Mormon. That's all Martin Bashir did. It wasn't his opinion, you freaky corpse molester. You Breitbart freakoid. All Bashir did was quote from the Book of Mormon. Of course, it says the same thing in the book of Christians, too. And in the book of Jews. And I'm sure somewhere in the book of Muslims. All those holy books all say the same thing about lying, bearing false witness, so on and so forth. But you will find that so many of the faithful are very selective in which ones they, which admonitions and restrictions and warnings they apply to themselves. Huh? So there you go. Mitt Romney is no more of a Mormon than, oh, Barack Obama is. We all know Barack Obama's a Muslim from Kenya. So more, Romney is actually defiling his own faith. But that's no big deal. Evangelical Protestants do it all the time. All the time. I mean, they have no problem with it. Christians, Catholics violate repeatedly. What, 90% of Catholic women are committing, I don't know, is using birth control, is that a mortal sin? Is that a venial sin? Do they confess it to their priest, or do they just tell the priest, oh, bite my ass, okay, I'm going to do this. How many little boys have you buggered this week, Father? The whole religious thing is just a spinning top of weirdness. Just round and round and round it goes. First your money, then your clothes. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Think of this. We will have podcast trivia. Ooh. This hour is being sponsored by Kathy Childs. Thanks, Kathy. Her message, shout out to Mitch Cohen of Stony Brook, who got me started with this bull shoe, this bull stuff. Keep telling the truth, Mike. We all need you. Ooh, did you see this when you gave me the copy? The BS word? That's all right. One of these nights, I'm just going to unload. I really am. I'm going to tell, and all the radio stations are probably totally freak. But, why certain words? I mean, this is ridiculous. You talk about freedom of speech. Why certain words are just not allowed. Oh, don't say that. That will get people upset. The bull S word? Really? Why? Anyway, thanks, Kathy. Her message again, shout out to Mitch Cohen of Stony Brook, who got me started with this BS. Keep telling the truth, Mike. We all need you. Kathy. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it. Stephanie in San Diego writes in, she says, Mike, just wanted to make a remark about the feminist nuns and the attacks on them by the patriarchal Catholic leadership. Obviously, the leadership's extreme focus on birth control and abortion, all while turning a blind eye to poverty and social inequality, go directly against the teachings of their founder, Jesus. They claim their reasons are about so-called right to life, but honestly, why is a group of men so concerned about pregnancy and so-called life even before conception takes place? And why are they so concerned about so-called life when they don't give a damn about those lives once they are born and suffering from sickness and starvation? I know their argument goes something along the lines of not messing with God's plan, and if he wants you to get pregnant, then you should not interfere with that. But do we really buy this? Does anyone see the connection between an organization that systematically rapes children and their extreme disdain for pregnancy prevention? Is it because it would shrink the pool of potential candidates to sexually molest? Less children equal less molesting. Also, let's face it, little boys can't get pregnant, so what difference does it make to them? Why does an institution that commits and covers acts of child rape have any relevancy whatsoever anymore? What does that say about us as a civilization? Just my two cents, Stephanie in San Diego. Yeah, to the really sick and the starving and the ones that Jesus said, you know, the way you treat these people is the way you treat me. Just know that, and you will get your reward or your punishment based on that. Pretty powerful stuff there, especially when you consider that most religious organizations tend to not acknowledge that warning from Jesus. Now, which is not to say that a lot of evangelical Protestants, they do go to tornado damaged areas or hurricane damaged areas. They do go to Haiti or one of the former Russian republics or Soviet republics and try to help people. They do individual effort, and good on them for doing it. Of course, they don't have to have a religious impetus for doing this. I mean, that's just, aren't we just, but do we need religion to tell us that we should help our fellow human beings? But how many times have you heard story after story after story where the male hierarchy of the Catholic Church, oh, my son or my daughter, you are suffering. You have leprosy of the soul. You have this disease and that disease and the other disease. And, you know, you're soon going to be with our Father in heaven, I'm sure. But here, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. But Father, I'm starving. Okay, well, let me pray for you. But Father, I'm wounded and bleeding and homeless. Okay, let me pray for you. Can you spare me a few bucks, Father? I mean, I don't need the prayers. I do need a place to stay tonight, food to eat. My son, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Okay. Okay. Pray for me, Father. Republicans insist there's no war on women. But according to Huffington Post, today the campaign against Planned Parenthood, which, by the way, provides health care to one in five Americans every year. The campaign against Planned Parenthood is gaining ground in the Midwest. Not here in the Bible Belt, but in the Midwest. Republican state representatives in Ohio, little sneaky bastards that they are, slipped an amendment into the state's substitute budget bill on Tuesday that puts family planning clinics like Planned Parenthood at the bottom of funding priorities and blocks them from receiving funding for cancer screenings and HIV and domestic violence services. Now, see, if it were women who beat the hell out of men, domestic violence services would be at the top of the agenda, right? But beating up women, you see, to right-wingers, to American fascists, to a huge chunk of religious people, whether they're Muslim or Orthodox Jews or Christians. Oh, I know it's probably not in their holy texts, but doing it is just fulfilling the natural order that God decreed when Adam gave birth to the first baby, who happened to be a woman. And then she betrayed the whole human race. So beating women, beating children, because, you know, it says in the Bible that the man is the ruler. And if he wants to beat them, God kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and goes help somebody score a touchdown somewhere. So, in Ohio, Republican state representatives, what do you want to bet they're Christian? What do you want to bet? Slipped an amendment in that blocks Planned Parenthood from ever receiving funding for cancer screenings and HIV. HIV. Well, if they weren't, you know, doing it, doing that, you know, what they do, they wouldn't get HIV. And domestic violence services. Meanwhile, over in Wisconsin, Planned Parenthood there announced on Friday, today, that it has stopped providing non-surgical abortions. Non-surgical abortions, which make up about 25% of all abortions performed at its clinics, due to a new state law that criminalizes physicians who perform them. Now, defunding Planned Parenthood by using Ohio's budget bill is, according to Huffington Post, that's a way for Republican lawmakers to get the measure passed without ever having to vote on a separate bill, which would likely cause, you know, controversy. So, being the sneaky, lying bastards that all Republican legislators are, they slip it into a budget bill. You twits. You twits. Oh, the amendment further prohibits federal funds from the Minority HIV AIDS Initiative, the Violence Against Women Act, the Breast and Cervical Cancer Mortality Prevention Act, and the Infertility Prevention Project from going to Planned Parenthood or any other family planning clinic that may provide abortions. How about that?
Progressive Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. After the next break, podcast trivia. So this would be a good time to get online. 877-996-2556 is the number. Get the right answer. It's multiple choice, and you win a one-year subscription of commercial-free podcast downloads of this program. So the Republican-controlled House in Ohio is expected to vote on the budget bill next week and pass it with the amendment attached that prohibits federal funds, from the Minority HIV AIDS Initiative, the Violence Against Women Act, the Breast and Cervical Cancer Mortality Prevention Act, and the Infertility Prevention Project. no money, even though it's not the state of Ohio's, they're not going to allow any money for any of that to go to Planned Parenthood or any other family planning clinic that, in addition to all those services, may provide abortion services also. This is just goddamn madness, isn't it? I mean, you know, Roe v. Wade was decided 40 years ago. Look what they're doing. Oh, my God. It's just... They're like hungry dogs. And women who are the majority in this country, why are you not standing up? Oh, no, I can't. Obviously, I can't suggest that women put themselves in a position where they say to the men in their lives, whether they are religious men or husbands or bosses, piss off, I've had enough of you. Can't suggest that. State Representative Kathleen Clyde, a Democrat from Kent, Ohio, and a member of the House Finances Committee, told Huffington Post, quote, "This House in Ohio seems to stop at nothing to attack women and their reproductive rights, and in this case, their access to basic health care and cancer screening. It's just a very tough legislature to be part of," end quote. I just wonder, what would happen if one of these Republican trolls who, matter of fact, let's take the, you know, the guy who slipped that into the bill. There are two of them. House Finance Chairman Ron Amstutz of Worcester, Ohio, and Christina Regner of Hudson, Ohio, a man and a woman who are pushing this amendment. Let's supposing that she develops breast cancer and he develops HIV/AIDS. And they are told on when they're given their diagnosis, well, if you guys just would have gotten, you know, screened for these diseases, you'd have a much better chance of survival. Both of you have a good chance of survival. I mean, breast cancer and HIV/AIDS are HIV/AIDS is becoming, in some instances, a chronic situation rather than a fatal one. The same can be said to a certain degree about breast cancer. But why didn't you people go get screened for this? I mean, did you not have any symptoms? And the woman from Hudson, what if the only place she could have gotten screened was the local Planned Parenthood office? And she just didn't go because, you know, they sometimes do abortions. And what if the only place that this freak, this man, could have gone would have been to a clinic someplace that was affiliated with Planned Parenthood or some other organization? So they're both going to be very, very ill and have to deal with all kinds of treatment regimens and so on and so forth. But they made their point, didn't they? Huh? Planned Parenthood affiliates in Ohio said that of its 37 health centers, only 3 perform abortions, and none of the $1.7 million it receives in federal funding annually is used to pay for those abortions. Opponents of the amendment that these two freaks introduced are concerned that many of the rural and low-income women in Ohio who rely on Planned Parenthood clinics for basic health and family planning services will not have a nearby alternative if Planned Parenthood is defunded. And the Republican men and some of the Republican women say, well, that's just tough. We don't give a goddamn about you. We don't care about you. You're not going to go to that clinic. 3 of 37 health centers, Planned Parenthood health centers, have anything to do with abortion. 3. And yet these religious fanatics, these murderous bastards in the Republican Party in Ohio, they're going to defund all of them. Boy, I'll tell you, like I've said before, sometimes I almost wish that this religious jive turkey nonsense were true, so that when these people croak, you know, Jesus can pick them up by their throats and say, you know, you two especially really pissed me off. and then slam them into hell. Trivia on the Mike Valori radio program. If you are our lucky contestant, I will ask you a multiple choice question. If you get the right answer, you win a 1-year subscription to Valori Show podcast downloads. Totally commercial free with a retail value of $56. How much, Kathy? $56.40? Which works out to about 25 cents a program, hence we call ourselves a two-bit radio show. Okay, are we ready? Who's number one, Johnny? Oh, it's John in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on Sirius. Hello, John.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Are you ready to play?
I sure hope so.
Okay, here we go. Music, please, Maestro. Thank you very much. Here's your question, John. The Motor City Moron, also known as Ted Nugent, made the news big time this week. Was it because he, A, in the usual dog whistle way, threatened the life of the president, B, is and has been for years a pedophile and has even bragged about it, C, has refused to pay child support for at least some of his spawn and thereby forced them onto welfare, D, lustily endorsed Mitt Romney for president, who then proudly and loudly accepted the endorsement, or E, all of the above?
Well, Mike, since I listen to your show every single night, I know the answer.
Yeah?
It's all of the above.
Oh, you got it! You know, Kathy told me earlier tonight when I showed her with the questions and so on, she said, you know, you keep making the podcast trivia questions easier and easier. We're going to have to go back to hard questions, but not tonight. You won. John, thank you very much. Now stay on the line and Kathy will get the pertinent information. Thanks for playing, John. We appreciate it. John in Louisville, Kentucky. All right. This hour, by the way, is being sponsored by Kathy Childs. She would like, her message says, to give a shout-out to Mitch Cohen of Stony Brook. Shout-out, Mitch, who got me started with this bull hockey. Keep telling the truth, Mike. We all need you. Thanks, Kathy. And thanks, Mitch, for telling Kathy about all this bull hockey. I know what you mean. As long as we open up the phones, what the hell. Our good friend from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com, Tara Dactyl.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Tara. How are you? Oh, my God. What did I do to deserve a call from the Tara Dactyl?
Oh.
Aren't you? This is a Friday night. Aren't you in some club doing comedy?
No, I'm taking the night off. I'm actually appearing tomorrow at Gotham. The basement, the Vintage Lounge, if anybody wants to go.
And what's the club again?
It's Gotham Comedy Club on 23rd.
23rd in NYC, of course.
Right, exactly. I'm just automatically assuming everybody knows what I'm talking about.
So. Yeah, nobody lives anyplace else.
23rd, right?
right. All right, comment on, how are you?
I'm good. You know, the Republican won women has got me down, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, but you know what's new about that? It's just come out of the shadows.
Well, you know, it was heartening, like as you were saying that those nuns basically gave the finger to the authoritarian males in the Catholic Church.
Right.
That was heartening because that thing that happened. You know, my mother was a nun. By the way, I was raised Catholic, and my mother was actually a nun. But she was not, like, doing anything, you know, really good. I didn't really know my mother was a nun until my grandmother died, we found pictures of my mother dressed as a nun.
You sure it wasn't for Halloween or something?
That's so funny because that's in my act. I immediately thought Halloween, you know?
She was a
and
nun.
I was like, why is she wearing her Halloween costume at the beach?
She was a nun and she left her order and got married and produced you.
Yes, and got married to a garbage man, so, you know.
Right. What made her leave the church?
I don't really know, to tell you the truth. My mother, you know, we could have done crimes together. That's what I always say. Because she was very, you know, thick-lipped about anything. It was like pulling teeth.
You know, as many conversations as we've had, did you ever tell me this? I don't remember hearing this.
I don't know. I think it's like something you remember, yeah.
I would have remembered that. I just guess we've never gotten, you know, we've never sat down and started pouring down the beer where that stuff that stuff comes out. You know, guess what? My mom was a nun. Oh, really?
I know. The best part is that we didn't know it. You know, from it. She was a nun for 15 years.
Oh my God!
Yeah. But I was raised extremely Catholic, and I mean, my father used to hunt me down the street. Take me to church. Like, I would rather go sit in the playground bored than to go to church. You know, he would make me go, and I would, you know, I would basically, it was like a cat and mouse chase until he found me.
That's an interesting story. So your mother left her order, but she remained a devout Catholic.
But the funny thing is she never went to church again.
Oh.
But she was very religious. It was, you know, messed up upbringing, really. Yeah. But my father was like always in church and gave to the church, was involved with the church.
What a story.
My mother never went, yeah.
What a story.
Yeah, but just going to church, what happened with these, with the church, you know, thanks to the nuns, to focus on basically making sure gays can't form a legal contract, you know.
Right.
Or that women have privacy in the doctor's office, and not do the work of Jesus.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just made me think that this is just how, you know, that quote, man will not be free until,
strangled with the entrails of the last priest, right?
Right. And the church is not here to elevate humanity. It's here to keep everybody in their assigned place.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be good little pawns to be exploited. And, you know, it's not really for a human revolution or, you know, to what I mean? Like,
sure.
Elevate people.
No, it isn't.
It's to keep them down. And that whole thing, and just with their silk robe, it's just, I go to church with my aunt because I have a lot of people in my family that still practice Catholicism, which I do not.
Mm-hmm.
And but I will go with her like on Christmas and stuff. But it's more like a sociological experiment when I'm sitting there watching it. You know, I mean, it's just one of these institutions that is in the way, I think, of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to get down to it. But anyway, I know it's not church night, so.
Every night is church night on this program, one way or the other. And it's not, you know, I mentioned this the other night. It's not by my choosing. I did radio for 20 years and never mentioned religion. All of a sudden, the right-wing fascists, i.e. the Republican Party, has spent the last two or three presidential campaigns just pushing this religious nonsense into everybody's face.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
if they're going to push it, okay, I will push back. And so will you, and so will most people who may not be as anti-religious as I am, but would suggest, look, you're supposed to keep this private to yourself. I mean, Jesus said, when you want to pray, go into your closet and pray. You know, he drove the public prayers out of the temple. So, you know, go figure. But anyway, that's the only reason I bring it up. But it is church night almost every night on this program.
Right.
One way or the other, we eventually get to one of those topics because it's literally out of the closet now. This religious war on women. It is not rhetorical excess on the part of liberals. It is really, really happening.
Yes, yes. Yes, and it has to be. I think we have to speak about it, because it's almost like even in every politician has to end their speech with "God bless us, God bless America."
I'm so over that. I am so over that.
We need to mature in this country and evolve. And I really hope that I see the day that we kick this church out of our government.
Yeah. I'd like to see that too, but you know, it's obviously it's heading the other direction.
I know, I know. I wonder if it's almost like we have to hit bottom now, you know, and then like what happened in Europe, where people are like they went through this their revolution with the church because of all the abuse, really. So, and they're like in Ireland, you know, what happened with the. You know, the Magdalene sisters, laundries and all that.
Right.
So, where now they're just like, they really don't want anything to do with the church. But 50, 100 years ago, the church was the final say. My father was actually born in Ireland. He said that it was, that was the biggest threat. We're going to take you to see the priest. The priest was, he was higher than the, your own father.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is, that's one of the things, and pity the Irish who had to suffer probably more than any other national group, the Irish who had to suffer the horrors of the Catholic Church, the horrors of the beatings and, the horrors of the beatings and the statements that you're going to go to hell and all that.
Right.
Terry, I got to do a commercial. Hold on a second. We'll come back for another minute when we try to pay some bills here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby, all lives. Oh, mercy, mercy.
Nipping in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast are everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Everyone pass them, drip, drip, drop.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, this hour is being sponsored by Kathy Childs, whose message is shout out to Mitch Cohen of Stony Brook, who got me started with this BS. Keep telling the truth, Mike, we all need you. Thanks, Kathy. It's a very kind thing for you to say. We're talking with Pterodactyl, who is the who has a website, RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. She's also a stand-up comedian. She will be at the Gotham Club?
Yes, Gotham Comedy Club on 23rd tomorrow night in the Vintage Lounge.
You got to go check out, if you live in the New York area, especially if you live in the city, go check out Pterodactyl.
Yes, well, my name is Tara Devlin.
Right. Tara Devlin.
Tara Devlin.
It's very, very Irish, but she goes by the name Pterodactyl. So
right,
check her out if you live in New York City or anywhere close by. Very funny lady.
Yeah.
All right, I got to move on. Anything else, Tara?
No, what else?
Well, go ahead.
Well, the George Zimmerman site really annoys me. You know, I mean, you talked about that already. But the thing is, the fact that he was right, it was like he was the victim, you know? That's the thing with conservatives. Like, they're perpetual victims, no matter what they do. Like, he writes on his site, I was involved in a life-altering event, which led me to become the subject of intense media coverage. What are you kidding me?
It's all about him. He killed somebody, and it's all about him, right? I know.
It's amazing, but it's like they're all victims. You know, it's like Sarah Palin is a victim of
Newt Gingrich.
Mitt
Romney. It's toxic narcissism, and one of the byproducts of that is this paranoia that it's always somebody else's fault. You know, it's always somebody else. That's just part of the psychosis of these people.
It's amazing.
It is amazing, and it's also sickening.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll get through it, I hope. I mean, at least we have each other.
Yes, we do. We have each other, and that's
a
good
thing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for, plugging my show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I wish we could be there. I would love to.
Yeah.
One of these nights, we're going to be in New York. We're going to come and see just how comedic you can be.
Okay, I'll take you up on that. Are you coming to New York anyway?
At some point, maybe.
Okay.
I'm not sure when. I have some good friends there, people I want to see. So I just may make it up there. And if it's a night when you're working, I'll sure come and see the
app. Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, great. Well, thanks for talking, and I will be listening.
Thanks, Tara. Take care.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. RepublicanDirtyTricks.com is the website. Check it out. Pterodactyl, Tara Devlin, quite the lady. Alan is in New Jersey, listening on Sirius. Hello, Alan.
Good evening, Mike. I hope you're taking care of that hand. You know we need you.
No, it's real okay. Kathy put some antibiotic ointment on it, or whatever it is, and it's, I talked to my son, who is in the medical profession. He said, whatever you do, don't cover it, just leave it open. So, yeah, it's fine. Thanks for asking. It's a very minor thing in the great scheme of life. You know, some people are dealing with really important stuff. I had no idea that water at that high pressure could just rip right through your skin, but yeow! Thanks for mentioning it, though.
Oh, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, I just wanted to say that I also go, when I talk on other shows and give, political commentary or analysis, I also go by the name of Alano, so people may know me also as Alano. But, Mike, I was very saddened and grieved.
Well, you were our sponsor last night.
Yes.
Yeah, you were one of our sponsors last night.
Yes.
All right, okay.
And I'm going to be a sponsor because I believe in your work.
Well, thanks. That's very kind of you.
But, Mike, I was very grieved when Dick Clark passed away the other day. Unfortunately, the wrong Dick died.
Yeah, I hear that. The Ron Dick C. died. Yeah, no, I get that. And I don't understand how a person who is a mass murderer, well, no, that's a legal term, a mass killer, and who had no problem ordering the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, how someone like that even deserves somebody else's heart when there are people who will probably, I'm sure there is a person who will die for lack of a heart that was probably not a mass killer, and who possibly tried to do good things for other people, whereas Dick Cheney is, not only is he a mass killer, but the only interest he has is in his own attitudes for himself and his oil business buddies. He's a sick, destructive man, and the fact that someone had to die so that this piece of human waste would get a heart is just, I don't know. I mean, further proof that there is no God, as far as I'm concerned.
Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. When Dick Pol Pot Cheney emerged from anesthesia, he asked his doctor if he had a heart. His doctor looked at him and whispered softly, no.
All right, Alan. Hey, listen, I got a break. Thanks, man.
Mike, keep it lit and don't Bogart it.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Alan. You have a good weekend. All right, we have a break here. We shall return for another hour of fun and frivolity here on the Molloy Program. If you're on hold there, stay. We'll take your call as soon as we come back. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us. It is 7 past the hour. The Malloy Program. This hour is sponsored by Donald Nelson with a message to Jewel E. We've been legal for 34 years. Sunday seems like the best we can do is help keep you on the air. Thanks, Donald. And very interesting message to Jewel E. We've been legal for 34 years Sunday. Seems like the least we can do is to help keep you on the air. All right. Thank you, Donald. And congratulations. It's always good to be legal. And if you can do it for 34 years, that's great. Thanks, Donald. Back to phone calls. Jake is in Altoona, PA, listening on Sirius. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Mike. How are we doing tonight?
Okay. How are you?
Just got done working.
Oh, well, good.
Hey, I listen to a lot. I listen to you whenever I get a chance, and mm-hmm. listen to a lot of satellite radio and stuff like that. And there's a trend that seems to be going on, and I think that progressives like us need to kind of fix is that I think there's a problem with what we call different echelons of the political spectrum. When they talk about, when they say, use like terms like conservative movement, mm-hmm. which is a contradiction, because if you're conservative, you really don't go anywhere. Like, to me, a conservative is like an Amish person.
Mm-hmm.
They mind their own business. They stay out of politics. They don't get involved. They just mind their own.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have progressives, people that want to move forward, and like the Health Care Act is a progressive, was a progressive act. It was something to move us forward and in a certain direction. And that was a liberal thing, that the progressives are level,
mm-hmm.
liberal. However, there are no conservatives, so there are what I call regressive. And they are just as liberal as progressives are. So to continually call Republicans and the neocons and all these people conservatives, I think that's a falsehood. That's a false narrative. To me, they're regressive. Their whole purpose in life is to undo what progressives do. And so it's, to me, is that to call somebody liberal, well, that's both regressives and progressives are both liberal. So, to me, I think that's what people need to understand is that really there's no conservative. These people aren't minding their own business. They aren't, I kind of came up with a little saying is that I don't go into church and disrupt their calm, so they shouldn't do the same when they come out into my public.
Well, that's true, and I've taken lately here to stop referring to them as conservative, because I essentially agree with you that they are not about what I believe at one time were considered to be conservative values, if that's not an oxymoron. These people are fascists. There is no question that when a political organization decides that it has the right to interfere and, in fact, inject themselves into a private medical conversation between a physician and a woman or a man or anybody, when they feel they have the right to do that, and they legislate toward that right, if that's not fascism, I'd like somebody to tell me a better example. And this is exactly what the right wing, the fascists in this country, are doing. They are moving the country toward fascism, whether it's political or religious. When you have a religion that tells one of its orders, nuns, like the Catholic Church is doing, that you have no business tending to the poor and seeking economic justice, what you should be doing is rallying or railing against homosexual rights or against abortion. That is fascism. So I agree. There's no such thing anymore as conservative.
Well, and another point to that, too, is the fact that one thing that kind of has bothered me is that when people talk about the separation of church and state, is that I always say is that, well, you look at one half, you say, well, the government needs to stay out of religion. Well, that's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
The religion needs to stay out of government.
Yeah, sure. I don't think that there's any place in religion or in government for religion other than the private conversations that people in a political office may have with their concept of a supreme being. If someone wants to believe in the holiness of a overstuffed chair, that's fine with me. Just don't, if a leader, if a president prays every night to the red chair or the blue chair or the green chair and somehow finds comfort, I kind of go with the John Lennon thing, whatever gets you through the night. It's when they tell me that that chair is God.
Right.
That's when, you know, it's like, okay, no, 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 no. Or that if you're not a chairist, then you are somehow inferior. Or that chairism is the only salvation of the country. I mean, this is where it becomes definitive madness, insanity. And
well, it's like a little saying that I come up with is that what you believe is none of my business.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate what you had to say. Take care. Yeah, there really is no place for religion in politics, because religion is about the supernatural, the invisible, the weird, the kind of stuff where you have to be, to a certain degree, you have got to give up the rational parts of your mind. You have to, in order to subscribe to a religion. You must do that. There is no getting around that. Whereas the political realm deals with hardcore 2 + 2 = 4 reality, or it should anyway, until it becomes polluted and corrupted by religion. You know, religion is fantasy. Politics, even at its worst, is reality. There is no comparing the two. There is no intersection of the two that doesn't result in further craziness. But again, in order to subscribe to a religion, you must be able to suspend in your own mind anything rational. Faith is not about reason. Constructing a whole other world where there are things flying through the air and haints and godheads and creatures and spirits and triads and all this stuff and heaven and hell and demons and I mean, that is by definition not rational. And I have no use for it. Absolutely none. But if you want to believe that kind of fantasist stuff, go ahead. I don't care. I believe that there may be fairies and elves someplace on Earth, right? But, I don't walk around saying to people, oh, man, we got to go find the wee folk. It's just part of my fantasy. That's all. And primarily it's because I've had children and I have a 7-year-old who, while she doesn't really believe in fairies, you know why? Because she tells me now she's never seen one. And I have to explain to her, Molly, but that's part of it. That's part of the fairy world, the elven world, the leprechaun world, is the fact that humans can't see them.
guard you, protect you, behind you, help you, punish you, guard you, thank you.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Prairie 2 sent this in to me. I think during the first hour I was talking about Mitt Romney and his rolling the dice about going to his particular hell, the Mormon hell, because he's a liar. Prairie 2 writes, the Mormon Church makes an exception for the so-called white lie. That is, anything that is said to protect or further the Mormon Church. Having a temple member and former bishop, that would be Romney, who is absolutely obedient to the prophet, that would be the church president, become president of the United States would give Romney carte blanche to lie at will. Yeah, you know, it's sort of like the Christians, you know, the other Christians, who can be as evil, they can have a lifetime of evil, just murderous behavior, literally, figuratively, and their religion gives them an out, you know, at the very last moment. You know, that isn't that what extreme unction is all about? Isn't that what deathbed confessions are all about? To me, that sucks. That's another reason that to me religion is for people who are extremely weak, gullible, and in agreement with the idea that you can live like a real scumbag and at the last minute you can get some kind of forgiveness by an unseen creature someplace. That's amazing. I mean, that's just amazing to me. Ah, Raj is in L.A. listening on KTLK. Hello, Raj.
Hey, hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Not bad. Yeah, I want to get into this salacious, juicy stuff. What is that? Secret Service scandal?
Yeah.
you know, today they all the, you know, from ABC onward, they had that David Cheney or somebody. You know, he had that Sarah Palin picture and, on his Facebook or something. And all these wrong-wingers attack him, you know, that he did this for Sarah Palin. But they themselves, from John McCain onwards, when he put her as a VP running candidate, John McCain, all the teabaggers, yeah, they were crazy about her. Even John McCain, when he was on the podium, he was checking her out, right? So only
I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea. But I do agree that Sarah Palin was every Republican's wet dream. That's all she was. I mean,
exactly. So only difference I see is this David Cheney, he spoke out, and these other guys were just dreaming.
Who's David Cheney?
Oh, he's one of those. He's a Secret Service guy who got caught, who got nabbed in that scandal in Colombia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that prostitution thing.
And he got fired.
I think he must have, because that's why he's, all these things are coming out now, so I think he must be out of there. So, but then all these networks they carry now, you know, because they, you know, not just me going for the juicy stuff. The networks do it for their ratings, right?
Well, yeah, because the networks and the cable operations have so dumbed down the American public over the past 50 years, 40 years, to the point where it's a wonder any of us can, you know, even find the breakfast table if we have one left anymore. But they've turned us into a bunch of slathering, blubbering, salacious morons. And they know, especially these all-day cable channels, they understand that if they don't spice it up once or twice an hour with some sex scandal or some, you know, something to add a little sizzle,
to this dead steak they keep trying to service, that people would just leave. That's why people go to Fox News. Fox News is not news. The Fox channel is nothing but huge, heaping, steaming piles of salacious garbage that Roger Ailes, the man who runs Fox, understands his audience wants. It's not even tabloid journalism, quote. It's just steaming mounds of garbage. And Fox viewers eat this stuff with two hands. They can't stuff enough of it into their faces. And they do it day in and day out. People don't go to Fox and then switch over to CNN or MSNBC. They go to Fox and they stay there. And like I said, they just constantly feed themselves huge handfuls of garbage, whether it's full of maggots or human excrement or sex stories or used condoms. They don't care. They just keep stuffing it in, handful after handful after handful. And that's why Fox viewers are all mad. They're all insane. And the horrible part is these people vote. These people have jobs. These people have raised children. Oh, my God.
Everybody be careful. Everybody be very careful. Stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking. There are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even own a TV.
Country I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world, every night and day on my TV.
To Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Donald Nelson. His message, we've been to Jewel E. We've been legal for 34 years Sunday. Seems like the least we can do is help keep you on the air. Thanks, Donald. And congratulations on the 34 years. Before we go back to the phone, since we have an open line here, 877-996-2556. Mike Ludwig, writing at Truthout, reports on the Vermont legislature became the third in the nation late Thursday to pass resolutions calling for a constitutional amendment that would overturn Citizens United. That's the Supreme Court ruling that allowed corporations and other groups to spend unlimited amounts of money influencing elections and gave rise to the now infamous super PACs. The resolution passed the Vermont House by a vote of 92-40 with support from five Republicans and despite a filibuster attempt by a Republican state representative. And a similar resolution passed the state Senate last week by a wide margin of 26-3. So, you know, a round of applause to the people in Vermont who, you know, are not waiting for some federal legislation and are not going to sit back and suck it up what this filthy right-wing Supreme Court ruled a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. Hawaii and New Mexico legislatures have also passed similar resolutions. An organizer for the reform group Public Citizen said, quote, the Vermont legislature is the third state legislature to formally call for a state constitutional amendment. And the spokesperson said, I have no doubt it will be among the first to ratify. The resolution, which was written by State Senator Jenny Lyons, states that the government should have the right to regulate corporate spending on elections, and that the Supreme Court used a faulty legal precedent when it equated campaign spending to free speech. And in a nod to the democratic nature of the movement against unlimited corporate spending on influencing elections, the resolution recognizes that Vermonters gathered at 65 different town meetings on March 6 to simultaneously pass measures demanding a constitutional amendment. The resolution also recognizes that, quote, corporations are not persons. Jesus God. Now, the vote came one day after progressives in Congress, including Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, held a summit in Washington to support this grassroots effort. Sanders and his allies have introduced similar resolutions in Congress. So, a tip of the revolutionary hat to the Vermont legislature, along with Hawaii and New Mexico. Prairie 2 just emailed regarding the conservative mindset, not mindset, but the politics of conservatism. As Prairie 2 points out, conservatives are not part of a movement. They're just not, because without billionaire funding, billionaire organization, and talking points from billionaire think tanks and support from billionaire funded media, there would not be a so-called conservative movement. In fact, these people would regress back into little knots of village idiots. I don't think Prairie 2 likes these freaks any more than I do. That's funny. Mark is in San Francisco listening online. Hello, Mark.
Mike, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, buddy.
Good.
Anyway, wanted to talk about what I think we're going to see in upcoming months. We're going to see a movement by the right wing to try to really emphasize race division.
Oh, yeah.
And hatred at a level that you and I couldn't even imagine.
Well, isn't it going on right now? Hasn't it been going on ever since Obama got elected?
Yes, and then they've taken it up a notch. You heard the rhetoric from Alan West and then Michelle Bachmann mentioning Tar Baby, and it's just beginning, but it's going to be taken to a new level, Mike. They want to create race division and try to, upheaval the 99% movement by trying to create this division.
Right.
And these people are just unbelievably so anti-American, it's beyond belief.
Well, the greatest day in the psychopath Glenn Beck's life will be the day, if it ever comes, when a race war breaks out in this country or in parts of this country. Glenn Beck and people like him in media have been pushing for that for a number of years. And the reason they're pushing for it is, to them, it's sport. They need the blood sport. They live such psychotic lives that they have to see some of their darkest fantasies actually acted out. They don't have the courage to do it, but they want to see other people picking up guns and knives and clubs and attacking each other. This is what Glenn Beck has been promising his brain-dead listeners for years, that such a day was just around the corner. And every once in a while, one of his listeners will go berserko and try to do just that. But yeah, you're right. This effort to push people in this country to bloodshed is what Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and Bortz and the rest of these filthy, filthy men are all about.
You know, Mike, the agenda of the Republican Party, if you looked at Bush, what he did with the surplus, he gave his rich buddies, tax breaks, and then the war machine got going, and he gave that department tons of money. And it was just a fleecing of the American taxpayer and our treasury. And this Ryan plan that they have, which should be burned on a day in this country nationally, all over the United States,
mm-hmm.
this budget is just the blueprint for the end of the middle class and another fleecing that's even worse than Bush. They want to just fleece this country to so there's nothing left.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they're after, Mike. They want the power, but they're after the money. And if they get, you know, if they get in, then they're just going to tear the middle class and the rest of us apart. But to try to get their agenda through, they want to divide us so that they can get in office and put this ugly agenda, anti-American agenda through. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. I hear you, Mark.
It's up to you and me, Mike, to get out in the street with the rest of our brothers and let's raise hell.
Yeah, I hear you. And sisters. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks. You know, I've said so many times over the course of the past decade, what's it going to take to motivate people? And I'm beginning to think that there isn't anything. You know, I mean, if we can stay in a war situation as we have in a country that has nothing to do with us and doesn't want us there, Afghanistan. If we can continue and maintain this facade of an all-volunteer army so that we're sending men and women to 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 deployments until finally they go insane, if we can continue to do that, if we can continue to have an administration that allows itself to summarily execute people who are American citizens because they may or may not be identified as people who are talking terror. If we live if we are in a situation where the whole real estate scam that was perpetrated, the bubble that was created, is being created again. I mean, it just goes on and on. If all this stuff is correct, if the attack on women is so out in the open and blatant now, if the Democrats can do nothing except sit on their asses and whine about how unfair it is that they can't get a vote to the a bill to the floor for a vote unless they have 60 votes to do it, you know, all of this stuff, then I would say that the chance of pulling out of this tailspin was passed a long time ago. And I know how that sounds. It sounds all negative and nasty and, oh, you're not supposed to think that way. You're supposed to be you're supposed to think positively and continue to fight the fight. Yeah, sure. But, I mean, how long do you do that when you live in a nation of 330 million people, for Christ's sake, who just sit back and watch this stuff happen and just remain, for the most part, I'm not talking about everybody, but just remain docile and cow-like and just standing there, or not even standing, sitting there while this continues.
before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Donald Nelson. His message to Jewel E. We've been legal for 34 years Sunday. Seems like the least we can do is to help keep you on the air. Thanks, Donald. And congratulations for 34 years of keeping it legal with Jewel. Akuma in L.A.?
Yeah, Makuma. Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. But what I really want to say is that the Democrats are geniuses. They have us all, like, food and... Because they the ones, without the Democrats, the Republican Party couldn't exist. Because the Democrats is the ones that hide all the Republicans' crimes. They cover it up. They let them steal money and everything. All the Republicans would be out of office and in prison and have the biggest prison Nazi gang if it wasn't for the Democrats. Keep covering up their crimes. Mm-hmm. Just like the Democrats covered up J. Edgar Hoover, killing all those people and everything. You know, but they keep covering it up, and they making us think that it's the big bad Republican, but the Democrats are more Republican than the Republicans. It's a big scam, and we are the fools behind it, because they always said the Republican is not voting and all of this, but they can get rid of the Republicans by just going to WikiLeaks and dropping some secrets, you know, and because any Republican, you know, got a prison record. If they really had laws in this country.
Well, I think, you know, and I agree with you, Makuma, but one of the biggest mistakes was the refusal on the part of the Democratic Party leadership to prosecute or at least investigate George Bush and Dick Cheney. I mean, they went after Clinton all the way through impeachment into a trial in the Senate because they say he lied about his tacky little affair with Monica Lewinsky. Now that, you see, that brought the country and the world. The world stood back and looked at that back in the late 90s and just went, what in the hell is going on in the United States? They're impeaching this guy for what? They're putting him on trial in the Senate for what? And then you have, not 3 or 4 years later, you have a criminal enterprise. By any definition, the Bush-Cheney operation was a criminal enterprise, but it was beyond that. It was a warmongering international outlaw gang that decided to murder hundreds of thousands of people. And when the Democrats got control of the House, one of the first things Nancy Pelosi said was, no, the impeachment's not on the table. That was at the point, Makuma, that was point number two. Point number one was when the Supreme Court stopped the vote counting on December 12th, 2000. That was point number one, where you knew that we were right on the edge of the cliff. And we got kicked over on that day in 06, I believe was it 06, or 08, I don't know, 08, I guess, when the Democrats retook control of the House and Nancy Pelosi said, no investigation, no impeachment.
Yeah.
Now that was the end of it. That was the end of it. At that point, that's what you're talking about, I think, where at least I and you and a lot of people realized that the Democratic Party was going to allow the Republicans to continue to commit acts of violence, treason, violate international law, anything they wanted to do, and nobody was going to hold them responsible.
But the Democratic Party is propping up the Republicans.
Well, yeah, just by doing that, just by allowing them to continue to operate. No, I understand. Yep. I understand.
Yep. They're propping them up. So they're more Republican. They out-Republican the Nazi prison gang Republicans by propping them up and keeping them propped up.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Mike, why would the Democrats propped in?
I don't know. Well, you know, people who are a lot smarter politically than I am will tell you that, and I tend to agree, that the Democratic Party is just the other side of the coin of the Republican Party, that they're both corporatist parties. The Democratic Party is not totally corrupted and vile and filthy and full of this religious garbage as the Republican Party is, but they're both corrupt. Now, even in you know, having said that, I think you and I understand that there are some members of the Congress who identify themselves as Democrats who are not corrupt, who I mean, you can count them on the fingers of one hand, but there are a couple left. You know, I hate to say that all Democrats, you know, if I say all Republicans are swine, that's true. But if I say all Democrats are cowards, that's not true. Only about 98% of them are cowards and enablers for this Republican filth. So I don't know why they do it, Makima, except for the fact that they're, you know, different sides of the same coin. And I tend to believe that. I never wanted to believe it. I always thought that the one political party in this country that would bring political salvation to this country would be the Democratic Party. I don't think that anymore at all. Makima, I got to leave it there because we're just flat out of time. Thanks a lot for checking in, man. I appreciate what you had to say. Yeah, I you know, it was a much more innocent time, that's for damn sure, that and I'm not talking about Southern Democrats. Come on. I'm not talking about Democrats in the South in the 50s and 60s. I know what they were. But I'm just talking about the principles of the Democratic Party as practiced up north. All right, take care. Have a great weekend, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike.